Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
It's football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Football at 4. Well, there's a story out there about Von Miller getting a speeding ticket. Now, Von obviously had a problem with, like, unpaid speeding tickets. But this particular case, and I always was amazed that a pro football player who has as much support personnel as somebody like Von Miller, Chad, just simply wouldn't call his agent and say, "Hey, dude, I got a speeding ticket. You know, can you take care of this for me?" I don't know what relationship he has with his agent, but to me, not that his agent would have to deal with it, but the agent's probably got people.
Contacts.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they probably retain some sort of law firm. That law firm probably retains some, you know, young up-and-comers, you know, somebody to make sure Vaughn gets his stuff taken care of. Well, this story isn't that Vaughn, you know, has anything wrong, and he just got a speeding ticket. He was going like 70 miles an hour in a 40-mile-an-hour area, and I know exactly where he was, or the area where he was when he got it, on Broncos Parkway. Now, if you've never been to... So I'm going to assume, just on the geography here, that Vaughn lives in the Parker area. Right, Chad? Like, somewhere...
Most likely, yes.
In the Parker area, if he's coming down Broncos Parkway. Broncos Parkway is really not that long of a road. It kind of goes from Parker Road, and it snakes down more or less in a, it looks like a big question mark, to Peoria and Arapahoe. Broncos Parkway does not go that far. So I am absolutely assuming he was going east to west on Broncos Parkway. Okay? Let me tell you about that stretch of road. It is a 1,000% speed trap. It is not a populated area. There are no, you know, close by sidewalks. There's no residential areas in a certain stretch. You know, when you go through that light where the 7-Eleven is, and then there's some Insta housing that's been built up there, and you're past Tagawa, and then you go up that hill, then down the hill to the Broncos facility, right?
Right.
You feel what I'm cooking here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now you live in the Highlands Ranch area, so you would come kind of the other way. You probably don't come that way whatsoever. But I live on the eastern side of that, okay? So I go
on the west side. I go by the family sports bubble.
There you go. And I go the opposite way.
Mm-hmm.
But the family sports bubble way, there's no real way you're going to get speeding in that area.
The jail is like 3 doors down from the Bronco facility. There's cops all over that road all the time.
There's a sheriff's department office, yeah. And then there's a jail nearby.
Right.
Yes. So, but the stretch of road I'm talking about, that's probably more common where Vaughn goes. Chad, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if there's ever been a time when I've been on that road where I've ever gone the speed limit. The road is big and wide open, and it's practically impossible to go the speed limit. Now, here's what I know, too. Vaughn's probably spent a couple bucks on a vehicle. Just a guess, right?
He's not rolling a...
What do you think? You think he spent like at least 90 grand on whatever vehicle he's driving around? Is that fair? Maybe more?
He's not rolling a Ford Explorer.
No.
Which is a fine car, by the way.
Right. So Vaughn's probably got a nice car. Well, if you've ever been in a nice car, you barely have to step on the gas, and that car is going to feel it. You're not going to feel anything. You're going to go so fast, so quick in a car like that. And if you haven't had that experience before, it's pretty cool, and it's also going to be like, wow, am I really going this fast, this quick, that sort of thing. Now, I'm driving a Toyota Yaris these days, Chad.
That's not fast.
The only way this vehicle is going to get to 100 miles an hour if I drop it off a roof. I get going about 55 miles an hour, and I can feel like the screws about to unrattle from my feet are about to touch the floor.
Uh-huh.
I'm about to become Fred Flintstone. You know, there are golf carts that probably handle speed better than my Toyota Yaris, but the thing doesn't die. It's been going for 160,000 miles, and it's nowhere close to being done. I could feel it, though, but not in a nice vehicle. So this cop, Chad, I hope this cop really enjoys hanging out with buddies, telling and bragging to everybody about how he writes up tickets for Broncos players. And it might sound like I'm giving an excuse to the players. I am just telling you, on this stretch of road, going 30 miles over the speed limit in this stretch is not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Is it against the rules? Sure. But I mean, is it really that bad on this stretch of road? Chad, I'm telling you, it's not. This guy, talk about an overzealous moment right here.
Wait. You're going to criticize the cop for doing his...
I can see where you're going there. I guess I am.
It was a 45-mile-an-hour zone. If Vaughn had been going... If he was cited for going 51, then I would say, okay, he saw a fancy car, he knows what this road is, he decided to target a Bronco player. Going 71 in a 45 is a whole completely different deal.
Dude, I did the best I can to explain this road.
You can't be mad at that.
We're not talking about close traffic. We're talking about zero traffic.
You can't be mad at that. If he's
overzealous, man. First of all, it's a speed trap, period. And
if
you know
it's 55, 10 miles an hour over, I'd say, okay, maybe you got a point.
You know, I got to tell you,
Chad. You're topping 70 in a 45?
But, dude, it's a speed trap.
We're not in Idaho, man. There's speed limits here in Colorado.
Oh, man. I want you to drive down that road.
I've driven down that road.
Okay, exactly. And you got no sympathy.
No, I don't. I'm not saying that I personally don't speed. I think most of us are guilty of that, but I think most of us would recognize if we're going 71 in a 45, we don't have a whole lot to stand on right here. You're going 51? Come on, officer. Just let me know. 51, I was going the flow of traffic. 71? Yeah. I can't justify that one. Mm. If you got popped, then you got popped. I can't say you were targeted. You were part of a speed trap.
I'm never going to win this argument because ultimately you're breaking the law, you're speeding, and you deserve a ticket. You're just like everybody else. I'm going to lose that argument. I can feel it in my bones. The text line just probably lightened me up left and right. I'm just telling you, it's a speed trap area, and if anybody's looking to like rip on Vaughn and say he's irresponsible, you're not going to get that from me on this one. And I just think more times than not, in certain contextualized situations, you know, officer, give me a warning. And you know, if I do it again on your watch, then fine. But, I mean, come on.
Again, I think you got a case with 6 miles over, with 10 miles over, you got a case. But 71 and a 45, I think you just got to accept what's coming to you and realize,
nah,
I got to set my alarm 5 minutes earlier, so I don't have to go 71 in a 45.
By the way, I'm not expecting the cop to do, like, Vaughn any favors. I'd say anybody on that stretch of road, you should give, a warning to it's really that bad of a deal.
6 miles an hour, 10 miles an hour, you got a shot. 71 in a 45. I can't believe that you even think you have a shot at that.
Hey, Vaughn, hey, slow it down. That's it. But, I mean, I would even say slow it down. There's nothing around there. It's like the German for about a mile. It's like the German Autobahn.
No, it's not.
Yes, for like a 1 mile stretch.
All right, so
you got to see this stretch of road. There's nothing there.
Right, so
it's this huge like 3-lane highway with I don't even know why it's so wide. It's an absurdly wide amount of space with nothing around.
No argument.
And no cars either. There's no traffic there.
No argument.
You wouldn't. This is not a current traffic-laden sort of commuting road.
If you had kept it under even 60.
The name of the road is Broncos Parkway, and I'm on the Broncos.
All right, I'm going to lose this argument. I can feel it.
Yeah.
I'm just getting loud.
It's lost.
Right.
When you resort to volume.
Right.
Yeah, your argument's not very good.
Right.
Yes.
Drive.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Take a phone call, Chad Brown. Bold of us. Brandon. Hi, Brandon. You're on the Fan.
Hey, Brandon.
Ah, world's worst phone.
Hey.
Try. Yeah, kind of. I'll give you one more.
I just have one question for you guys.
Okay.
Before I do that, I just want to make a statement.
I wish you wouldn't. I wish you would just ask the question because your phone is terrible.
Oh, sorry, guys.
Yeah, just sort of say what your question is.
Anyways, I just wanted to know whose offense would you rather have, the Broncos or the Vikings?
Okay. Trust me, I'd have him on longer, but he was about to, you know, hurtle into Chad Brown. Would I rather have the offense of the Vikings or the Broncos? I guess he's implying, you know, last year's Vikings to this year's Broncos. I'm assuming that's where he's going.
Or the projection of this year's Vikings with Kirk Cousins.
Is that what he's saying? I don't think that's what he's saying. I think he's like, who do you think, you know, Chase Keeson will do better with?
Okay, who do you think?
Well, what do you think? You're the football guy.
I'd have to go with the Vikings. There's still too many question marks about this Broncos offense. We have a projection on who the third receiver is going to be. We have a running back group that's got talent but has no experience nor NFL production. We have an offensive line that seems to have gotten better, but still question marks about that. And can these Broncos offensive staff get Chase Keeson to play like he did last year when he was Case Keenum with the Vikings?
Because right now we have Chase Keeson. We don't know if we have Case Keenum.
Correct.
We got Chase Keeson.
Right.
Chase Keeson.
Because Case Keenum played for the Vikings.
Case Keenum was awesome. We don't know about Chase Keeson.
Chase Keeson.
Right.
Right.
There's question marks about Chase Keeson.
Yeah. I'm going to say I'd rather have the Vikings offense. I think they're a little younger. I think they're more dynamic. I think
there's less questions.
I mean, you know, when you say that, you got to put everything into it. I think they're better coordinated. There's a better coaching staff. I think they're better directed by the head coach. I just think it's a better situation. We're unproven.
That's what I'm saying. Question marks.
Completely, we don't know what Bill Musgrave will provide. Go ahead.
Let's flip this the opposite way. What is the thing you are surest about the Broncos offense? We can talk about the question marks.
Wow.
But what are you surest about? Because that really exposes the amount of question marks there really are.
The number one thing I'm the most sure about? Matt Paradis will take every snap this year.
Okay, but does he play at a high level while taking every snap?
You said what I'm the most sure about. The guy's like taking every snap for three straight years. I'm just going on the record.
All right, so he's durable. Great. Durable and good.
Do I think Emmanuel Sanders will have a great year? I don't know. Not necessarily.
All right, DT? Somebody from the tight end room emerges?
I mean, we got a couple of 30-year-old wide receivers. I mean, you're not, hey, listen, are they tough? They're tough, and they go across the middle. Okay, sure.
Somebody from the tight end room? Anybody, any surety there?
Tight end room.
Surety?
No.
Any surety from the running back room?
No. It's very young, very inexperienced. So, cause it seems like they're good guys. Seems like it's kind of interesting.
Surety, other than Matt Paradis' durability from that O-line.
You know what? I'll give you something.
Okay.
I will give you something. I feel 100% confident the best offensive player on the Denver Broncos will be Case Keenum. I feel very, very confident about that. And that's the first time since Peyton Manning's been here that I felt the best offensive player was going to be the quarterback.
Do you think Case Keenum...
Yes, I'm trying to give him respect here.
From the Vikings.
Yes.
Will be equal to the Chase Keenum the Broncos have.
I don't know about that.
Chase Keenum.
Can you repeat the same level of play he had last year?
I hope so. I mean, that's why we paid him.
So you're doubtful about that, but you're sure he'll be the best offensive player.
Yes.
Okay. Again, that leads to more
questions.
But
that's a good thing. That's a good thing that you feel confident your quarterback's going to be your... You should feel your quarterback on every team is going to be your best offensive player. I mean, if you have a team and you don't feel like that, and I have not felt like that for the past couple of years, you're in big trouble if you don't feel your quarterback's going to be your best offensive player.
KC's not in big trouble. Patrick Mahomes has a strong chance of not being...
You sure? You sure they're not in big trouble?
Have you seen the speed in their weapons?
Who's their best offensive player?
Their running back's really good.
Okay.
The receiver's really good.
He's better than Travis Kelce?
Their tight end's really good.
I think they got some problems in Kansas City.
They got the best young back in the league, one of the fastest receivers
in the
league.
I'm agreeing with you. I think they probably have four different dudes who are better offensive players than their quarterback. They may be in a little bit of trouble there.
Interesting.
Maybe. Best offensive player for the Raiders is Derek Carr. Yes. Best offensive player for the Chargers is Phillip Rivers. Best offensive player for the Patriots is Tom Brady. Best offensive player for Pittsburgh? That's kind of interesting.
Antonio Brown.
More so than Le'Veon Bell?
More so.
And not Ben Roethlisberger?
Not Ben, no.
Probably not. That's an interesting one right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah, I mean, all three of them are great players.
Yeah.
Just Antonio Brown is just that great.
Yeah, is Demaryius Thomas a better offensive player next year than Case Keenum? I doubt it. I doubt Emmanuel Sanders will be better than Case Keenum. I can't imagine any of the tight ends will be better offensive players than Case Keenum.
Yeah, so I think your thought exposes the fact that you don't think very highly of...
Yeah, never mind. I have no idea who's going to come up with the game plans and implement them. Is it really going to be Gary Kubiak? Is it really going to be Bill Musgrave? I mean, what's going to be going on there?
I got no impression that Gary Kubiak's going to be drawing up game plans.
Well, I've heard things.
Unless he's the head coach at some point.
I don't know if he needs to be the head coach to be drawing up game plans.
Wow. So he's gone from...
You know, the rumor was he would walk
in. He's gone from the head coach whisperer to now sitting in game plan meetings?
Like, install would be basically on Tuesday, right? With the coaches. So the rumor was he would just walk in Tuesday morning and it'd be done. Like, there wouldn't be anything else to really discuss. It was just like the minutia of, you know, what we're covering in practice. But the game plan essentially would just be done. Whereas I believe the system is Tuesday, you use the day to put it together. And Kubiak would just have this fire in him that he would spend all night never sleeping. He didn't sleep. That was his big problem, by the way. That's the main reason that, you know, a lot of his health issues kind of amped up. The dude would not sleep. It's like, get him a CPAP machine, you know, but that was the rumor, at least. Now, I could be wrong on that, I suppose, but the rumor was he would just come in. Well, what in the world would stop him from doing that now? Aside from being wildly inappropriate because it's not his job, right?
It's not his job.
Right.
There's a hierarchy to these things.
All right, we'll take a break. We can discuss it more in terms of it's a compelling question, but I think the good news is the best player on offense for the Broncos is the quarterback. That's good. This is The Drive.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Turn it up! All these lovers got you losing control. You like a drug to me, a luxury, my sugar and gold. I want the good life every good night. You're a hot one to hold. Cause you don't even
before we dig into the Chase Keesum thing. Hi, Dave. You're on the Fan. Dave.
Hey, how are you guys?
Super.
Dave? Super.
Couldn't be better.
I could be better.
Chad Brown, I'm a huge fan. Dude.
Thanks, man.
Throw it at you real quick, guys. I think when you're talking about the side of the ball that needs to be addressed most, I think has been, and that is special teams. I think you added King to it. That's a great move. I think McManus will be actually on point this year, and I think that kid, which was one that fumbled all the time, he's
going
to hold on to it this year. Yeah,
no,
and I think they'll be helped out a lot. Plus, you got the other clown out of there from last year.
Brock Olivo?
Yeah, so you brought in, what, McMahon? Is that his name?
Yeah, who knows about this guy? Dave, hey, thank you for the call, Dave. I appreciate it. Nobody even understands special teams. It's so funny.
If we had 22 Janos, we would be all right.
Yeah, that's when I knew Brock Olivo didn't know what he was talking about.
Apparently, some coaches don't understand special teams.
Not in the NFL, they don't. It's bizarre.
22 fullbacks ain't going to do you a whole lot of good on special teams.
Nope. Now, if you wanted to say, if we had 22 guys who had the same attitude and put out the same effort as Jano.
That's a whole different thing.
And maybe that is what he was trying to say. But that's not what he said. He said,
if we had 22 Janos, we would be all right.
No, if you had 22 Janos, you would lose every game by 70 points.
True.
Here's what I find offensive. That's going to be a little tight here. Got to be careful here. Al and I have often gone back and forth with the term gym rat.
It's got a racial connotation to it.
It does.
No doubt about it.
The concept of athlete versus gym rat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think is inherently, maybe not intentionally, offensive to black athletes.
Yeah.
Right?
True.
So, Jano would be a gym rat.
Correct.
Brandon Marshall would be an athlete.
Which Brandon Marshall?
I'm sorry, the linebacker on the Broncos, Brandon Marshall.
Right.
If you were to put Brandon Marshall and Andy Janovich next to each other and pick a better football player, you would be insane to pick Andy Janovich. Brandon Marshall is such a better football player than Andy Janovich. It's ridiculous. Now, you don't hear the reputation of Brandon Marshall about how hard he works or the time he puts in or something like that. And it could be a lot of different guys, Chad, by the way. But put a fullback in that sort of role who's a white dude who works really hard, and all of a sudden you have coaches saying,
if we had 22 Janos, we would be all right.
If you had 22 undersized, slow, not overly athletic football players, you would be terrible. Is there a role for Jano in the NFL? I guess. Maybe. You know, he could hang around, Chad, I guess. I mean, he played of all the offensive players on the Broncos, he played the smallest percentage of offensive snaps of anybody on the Broncos. This isn't me making this up. These are actual numbers out there. Look them up for yourself if you want. Brandon Marshall's on the field for, what, every defensive snap? Something like that?
Most.
Yeah. I shouldn't even use Brandon Marshall. I should go through, like, the other special teams guys on the Broncos and tell you who the better athletes are than Andy Janovich or who you'd have a better shot with. Is Jano a tough guy and tries hard and, you know, okay, sure, if you say so. But it seems to diminish the effort that other dudes on the team bring to the table. And, Chad, I'm about putting out the best football team I possibly can. And if I need somebody to block at the goal line, I'd rather stick an extra tackle out there who weighs 320 pounds. I'd rather put out...
Don Terry Poe for the jump pass?
Why not? I mean, I'd rather stick... who are our tight ends? I'd rather stick Jeff Heirman out there. I mean, you realize our tight ends overall are 3 inches taller and 30 pounds heavier than Andy Janovich, right?
Yep.
I'd rather have Virgil Green out there. But this concept that, you know, you're this work hard sort of guy, it really drives me nuts. And that a coach would say something like that is insane.
So let's circle back to the term gym rat, because the text line is either incredulous that someone could be offended by that, or how is that term offensive?
Keeping it real?
Keeping it real.
It's always a white guy.
The gym rat.
Mm-hmm.
The gym rat's always a white guy.
Always.
Have you ever heard of a black guy referred to as a gym rat?
Nope.
Was Kobe Bryant a gym rat by the definition, not skin color?
Nope.
No, by the definition of the term, not the skin color.
Sure. By the definition of the term, there's tons of black guys who are gym rats.
Well, but
I mean, yes, is Kobe Bryant? Yes, by the definition of the term, yes, of course.
Kobe Bryant did 2 hours at like 5 a.m. and then did another 2 hours.
Yes, of course.
He did 6 hours a day.
Of course. There's millions, tons and tons of black athletes who are gym rats. By the definition of what a gym rat is.
But when people would describe Kobe Bryant, they would say he was a great athlete.
Right.
He's got natural skill set.
It was a bizarre lack of recognition of how hard other people work. It's insane. John Stockton, gym rat, you know, guys like that. And I'm not trying to take anything away from, you know, guys like that, you know. Sure, okay, they work hard. Everybody works hard. I will agree. There's a couple things, you know, Alfred has said to me over the years, which I'll agree with. And I point this is my Emmanuel Sanders argument, too. And Tim Tebow as well. He works hard. He's tough. And then it's the whole blindside thing. You know, his background's, like, unique. I'll give you this. After covering the NFL for 25 years, they're all tough, Chad. You know, they got there. The crazy backgrounds, the hardscrabble lives of people that are in the NFL are insane if you want to dig into the stories. Go look at Derek Wolfe's personal story if you want to see something that was beyond bizarre in terms of where he had to come from to where he is now, okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You could be making movies nonstop of how challenging guys' lives are that are in the NFL. I have unbelievable respect for these athletes that get to this level. I mean, it's absurd what they've had to overcome to be there. Nothing but respect for them. Nobody can get there unless they work really hard. You got to have a certain amount of natural talent. You're 6'3". You couldn't bench press your own weight for most of your life, right?
True.
Right? So how'd you get there?
A lot of hard work. Just to get my bench press to body weight.
Anybody ever call you a gym rat?
Not once. I think, but in the end, that term does a disservice to both.
It does.
To both sides of it.
It does.
It does a disservice to the other side who have never been called gym rats and are thought of as somehow they're just naturally incredibly gifted to have that worked to get to where they are. And it also does a disservice to the gym rat because somehow it's thought of that he just, through just the sheer perseverance, got himself there and was not get.
Right.
John Stockton was a good athlete.
Right.
Yes, he worked hard, but it diminishes his athletic skills and only plays up his mental hard work skills.
Like Isaiah Thomas one time said, Larry Bird, if he was a black athlete, he'd just be another player.
I disagree with that.
Of course.
That's a step too far.
He's way wrong on that, too. You know, he's wrong.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I say he's wrong as well.
Anyways. 22 Janos. No, in terms of, I know we started this on special teams. It's you have to understand what you're trying to do, the game you're trying to win, and the Broncos didn't get that. I hope they do this year. I think they will. I think they will. Isaiah McKenzie should not be involved with the punt return game whatsoever. We should have great punt catchers, a la Emmanuel Sanders, Eric Decker, Jim Leonard. Even Jordan Norwood actually was a great punt catcher, right? And Jordan Norwood turned in one of the greatest punt returns in, you know, NFL Super Bowl history. Jordan Norwood was relatively solid, not the biggest fella, but, you know, and he got pushed around by Aqib Talib. So Take it for what you want. Take it for what you want. Most people, I wouldn't even look at the text line because everybody's going to be upset. But
they are.
Okay, that's fine. Because everybody wanted to be a gym rat. Everybody thinks of themselves as a gym rat.
You know. The text line is saying Kawhi Leonard and Kevin Durant are often referred to as gym rats.
Really?
Okay.
You know what? You all win. Everybody that says something like that, you win. I'm completely wrong. I apologize already. Can I just cut to the quick? Just yes. Be like that.
There you go.
Because sometimes when I spit out truth bombs and no, everybody's okay, you win. It's easier for me to just say you win. You all win. You all win. This is The Drive on The Fan.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Hi, seen on Twitter, and I don't know who this is, Steve Ashburner? I'm going to be careful there. Now, who's this? I guess you look up who he is, right? He is a senior writer for NBA.com. That's cool. So he's legit. Is that right, Big Sexy? You trust this guy? Okay. And Michael Porter Jr. put this on his own page. Is that right? Am I getting that right? I don't know. Anyways, here's the report. Michael Porter Jr., who slid to Denver at number 14 in the NBA draft due to ongoing back issues, had another surgery last week.
Not good.
His camp believes latest procedure equals a breakthrough. Grasp of his herniated discs problem. Equals a breakthrough grasp? I don't know what that means. It seems to be a positive thing. But he had another surgery last week. Not their plan to have him sit out the 2018-2019 season. And now this guy's not referring to the Nuggets. He's referring to the Porter Jr. camp. So Big Sexy, when I read this and I see not their plan to have him sit out 2018-2019, I mean, kind of like Ben Simmons, I guess. That implies to me that there's no way he's going to start the season, right? Like, this is going to take some time.
I think they've said this from the very beginning, that they're just going to take it slow with him. There's no sense to rush him into it, and their number one goal is to get him 100% healthy. So I think this is the first step in the process, and I think all Nuggets fans knew that Michael Porter Jr. wasn't somebody that they're going to be relying on this season.
Did the Nuggets, you think they knew when they made this pick that he was going to require another surgery or have another surgery scheduled?
That's a good question. Maybe.
I'm looking at Twitter right now. Harrison Wind writes for BSN. He spends a lot of time with the Nuggets. He did tweet out and said that the Nuggets did know that this was on the table when they were drafting him at 14. So I'm not certain.
That makes sense. I mean, there had to be a reason for him to fall to 14.
But absolutely. Yeah. But you would have to know that this was going to come down the pipeline.
Well, not only did they know it, but everybody in the NBA probably knew it.
That's why he fell.
Yeah. I'm okay with it. I'm fine with it. It's all right.
You're fine with the risk-reward aspect of this pick?
Oh, yeah. Because after you get past, like, 7, it's just an absurd crapshoot. You know, you're not really miss. It's different than the NFL. You're not really. I mean, the fact that they got the Joker in the second round is ridiculous.
Right.
You know, that's. You can never count on that. And you can't count on many guys past, 7, maybe 5. And Ben Simmons more or less sat out an entire year, right? Look how he came back in his rookie year.
It's true. I just have concerns about the back issues because I can't think of an athlete where they've gone away.
Yeah. It's worth the risk, though. And it's fine to be patient.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think in this case, you have to be patient.
I don't think anybody Big Sexy was really depending on Michael Porter Jr. to have a huge impact this year, right? I mean,
if somebody was, they're foolish for thinking of it.
Right. But most reasonable people weren't.
You know, post-draft, they were, you know, talking about how he would fit into the lineup and what he could add. And I thought that's pretty pie in the sky when the organization keeps repeating, we're going to take it slow and we may look at this year as a redshirt year.
All right. There you go. Breaking news. Mike, you're on the fan. Hi, Mike.
Chub, chub, chub.
Chub, chub, chub. What's up, Mike?
Chub, chub, chub. I don't even know where to start. This whole Jano thing has me just hot, okay? So he's a gym rat. Whoopity-doo. If he was such a gym rat, how come he wasn't in any of the short goal line or any of the rushing packages since we were supposed to be emphasizing the run last season?
Yeah, it was, right? it was ridiculous, Mike. The dude took, right. like 7 offensive snaps a game.
And then you pile on in, and I'm hot, so I don't remember the running back's name, but it was Carlos Henderson, right?
That D'Angelo.
All these great flashes.
D'Angelo Henderson.
I'm sorry, yeah. D'Angelo Henderson.
Right.
Showed all these flashes in preseason.
Right.
We didn't see him until the end of the season.
But right.
Who did we see all season long putting the ball on the turf? McKenzie. Every
right.
freaking game. So what? So they get rid of the special teams coach. That's great. Do we have any hope, or do we trust the organization, or are we just going to get another line of
no? They got well. This guy. That's a good question. Thank you, Mike. Good question. Tom McMahon has a deeper special teams history. He's actually been a special teams coordinator. Brock Olivo had only been an assistant. Tom McMahon is a much more seasoned guy. He's a much more mature guy when it comes to this, and. Hopefully Vance Joseph has a better grasp as to what's going on with his own staff than he did last year, which he was completely clueless. Not as far as I'm concerned. Vance Joseph was a terrible hire, and the quicker that Vance Joseph moves along, the better probably for everybody. And I feel exactly the same about Joe Woods. Brock Oliva was kind of in a no-win situation. I mean, the guy was trying his best, but he was working with, oh boy. But then again, he didn't straighten out situations that he could have easily straightened out. I mean, it wasn't Brock Olivo, Chad, that put Isaiah McKenzie back there time and time again. That was Vance Joseph.
At some point, yeah, that decision moves from the special teams coach to the head coach.
Vance Joseph did that because the personnel department, John Elway, drafted Isaiah McKenzie to be the punt returner. Vance Joseph said that. He's our punt returner. Well, oh, really?
In the offseason, unfortunately.
he's our punt returner. Really? Yeah, and what he was implying is, this is who my boss drafted to be our punt returner, so he's our punt returner. Because I'm a coach that can't make up his own decisions, and I need to do what my boss tells me to do so I can keep my job. Because I've never done this before. I don't really know what I'm doing. So they hired Mike McCoy to be the offense coordinator. You know, this dude's been a head coach in the NFL and an offensive coordinator for many years in the NFL. So I'm not going to question him. And we hired Joe Woods to be our defense. Now, he's never done it before. So maybe him and I will kind of hit it off in complete incompetence together. And you heard from I didn't like everything Aqib Talib had to say, you know, about the dogs and all that sort of stuff. But when Aqib Talib revealed recently that they had to basically dumb down the defense for Joe Woods, meaning they had to eliminate tons of calls because Joe wasn't really capable of calling them.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't think that's what Aqib was saying.
Oh, what do you think he was saying?
He said the package, you know, was cut in half.
So what do you think he was saying?
I don't know what he was saying, but he did not. Aqib Talib is not one to hold his tongue. So if he had something to say as if Joe Woods could not master the defense.
What do you think he was implying then? That's what I think he was implying. To me, Aqib Talib was implying Joe Woods does not know the defense well enough to call the plays.
He was implying the package was smaller. That doesn't mean that Joe Woods does not know the plays.
That's what it implies to me. If it implies something different to you, then fine.
There's a certain aspect, as a defensive coordinator, you got to call plays that you think will be successful. What's the point of me bringing the blitz if I can't cover somebody? What's the point of me bringing the blitz when I know they're going to have a back out of the backfield, and that's been a mismatch for our linebackers or safeties?
You like Joe Woods as a DC?
I'm not saying I like
you, you
or
think he knows
dislike.
What he's doing?
I'm just simply talking about calling the game as a coordinator and how difficult that can be if you don't have the matchups that you're looking for.
Yeah. He didn't, my opinion, didn't know what he's doing. Vance didn't know what he's doing. Brock Olivo's head spinning, doesn't know what he's doing. Everybody's trying to please John Elway. Everybody was trying to, oh, you drafted this guy. Well, we're going to do this. What do you think that quarterback battle was all about? Give me a break. Trevor Siemian proved in the OTAs and minicamp he was far better and had been an NFL starter. That was all about trying to appease personnel because you drafted Paxton Lynch It was ridiculous. It was dumb, Chad.
I can't argue that.
There should never have been a quarterback battle. There should never have been the decision.
I mean,
you freaking got yourself into the pit of misery. As soon as June was over, that was time. Trevor's won it. We're moving forward, right? We would have. I guarantee you, had they made that decision, they would have won at least 8 games last year. Guarantee you, had they done that.
Hey. Then I'll be doing what you do, because then you know it all.
Yeah, that's right, John. Like to see you sit in this chair for 2 days, never mind past 10 years.
Believe me, I'm not done swinging and missing.
Good to know. Here's Mark Schlereth.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
I think it's very interesting. I think that the national media has not really credited the Denver Broncos for just the overall greatness of what their defense has been and what it could be. I think the national media has really done a poor job of looking at this roster in totality, looking at the depth of this roster on the defensive side of the ball, and essentially, instead of focusing on that, focusing on the departure of Aqib Talib and, you know, the injury of Derek Wolfe. I think what you have to look at here is you have probably second best defensive player in the National Football League in Von Miller on your roster. I think Aaron Donald is the best in Los Angeles. And then you've got a bunch of players that have got things to prove. There's no question that they have things to prove. But when you look at just this defensive line with Domantas Peko, who's got a great veteran ability, you look at the addition of Bradley Chubb, Shane Ray, if he is healthy, and the cornerbacks you have in Chris Harris Jr. and Bradley Roby, who's done great things in this league already, I think you're really mismanaging how good this defense is. I think people are sleeping on the Denver Broncos defense. I think it'll be better than people anticipate on a national basis. 10 days away from camp, let's bring it on, man. Get your cleats on the grass.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.